Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
The healer is in the
house. Jesus!
The healer is living on the inside of us right now. Go to 1 Peter 5. Verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that, now that is a, hey. Uh-huh. Start read that before you start talking about your cares and worries. Got to get thinking about the crown of glory. That fade is not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. These are all instructions. Yes. Satisfy all of these things. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. God, listen, God didn't, He wants us to be exalted. He just doesn't want us exalting ourselves. He wants you just to humble yourself before Him and then let Him exalt you over sickness, over disease, over poverty, and all the things that He provided on that cross and in His resurrection. Because we've been lifted up and made to sit with Him in heavenly places. Far above, right? All right, so here you are. We're going to take care of all the worries in your life. We're going to take care right now and worrying about your kin folks, worrying about your husband, worrying about your wife, worrying about this, worried about this, worried about your business, worried about what's going to happen, worried about what's already happened. Well, what are you worried about? What's already happened for? And God knows this life better than you do and better than I do. And but you have to be the one to tell your mind what to think. You have to tell your mouth what to say. You have to tell your body what to feel and what not to feel. And you have to tell fear to take a hike. And tell sickness and disease to just get out. I deny your right to live in my body.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 8. This is, I have this in my bathroom, scotch taped to the mirror in my bathroom. This is every day. When Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. She arose and ministered unto them. What'd she do? Now, it's evening time on the Sabbath. He just came from synagogue where he delivered a man. She just got up and fixed supper. I can hardly wait to find out what her name is and what his wife's name is and the woman with the issue of blood.
Yeah.
I wish the Lord had put, you know, Susie had an issue of blood, but he didn't see fit to do that because had he done that, you wouldn't put your name in there. When evening was come, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. If he bore it, we don't have any business with it. Glory to God. Let's just give the Lord praise. Give Him praise and honor and thanksgiving. Now there's some things here that I want to touch on. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Are you there? Oh, that's 2 Peter. Verse 25 of the first chapter, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Oh, praise God. Say it, the word of the Lord endures forever. He sent his word and he healed them. Glory to God. The word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. So say it, I lay aside all malice and all guile. Guile is just simply deceit, speaking deceitful things and having a deceitful attitude about yourself, and hypocrisies. Now, what did Jesus say? What did he call the leaders of the synagogues and the Pharisees and so forth? Hypocrites. Because they were preaching one thing and doing another. What is a hypocrite? Well, somebody says, you're a hypocrite. And I've had this in one some different forms or another. What do you mean I'm a hypocrite? Well, you say you're healed and it's obvious you're not. Now, wait a minute. If I said I was healed because I feel healed. No. I'd have to say I'm sick. Now, wait a minute. I believe the Bible. If I said I'm sick because I feel sick, and then I believe 1 Peter 2:24, I'm the hypocrite. I had a man come up before me in a prayer line one time. He walked up there in front of me, and he was like this when he got up, and he said, I said, what is it? He said, well, I got this thing right out here. I started to lay hands on him, but the word of the Lord came up on the inside of me. So I said, are you healed? Well, no. No, I got this thing right here. I said, the Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. I know it says that. Well, are you healed? No. I told you. And I could see he's getting upset. That's good. Let him just get upset. And because of that, that's the reason the Lord brought this out of him, because he's already upset. Like one woman said, Brother Hagin, you've got me confused. He said, no, lady, you were confused before I got here, and I just shined the light on it. He said, you don't go up in the attic and take your light and say, look at the dust this light caused. Well, he was confused. And I said it, I went through the whole, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes you were healed. Are you healed? No, I got this thing right here. And then the Lord just said it out of me. I said, all right, if I agree with you, you're going to stay sick or whatever that thing is. If you'll agree with me, you'll receive your healing. Yes. And the light came on. Yeah. Yeah, he said, put your hands on me. And I put my hands on him, and the power of God just knocked him backwards. But there, for a while, he was not ready to receive. And had I just gone ahead and laid hands on him, there wouldn't a thing in the world happen. He'd gone away, and said, well, Copeland hadn't got it. Well, Copeland never did have it in the first place. I'm not the healer. Like I said, I just work here,
That's right.
I love it, but what I do, but there was no faith connection there. But once he saw that, and listen, he got into a place of agreement.
Yes.
Agreement with the Bible. He agreed with the Spirit of God through the Apostle Peter. He agreed, so Jesus said, any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything they shall have asked, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What? To carry out the agreement by his Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, you can get healed with that if you have somebody to agree with you. Not hope, agree. What would it be like if, you know, we have a contract with Hilton Memorial Chapel for the time that we're having these meetings here. And so, you know, say I was the contract signer. I'm not, but just say that I was. And of course, that's not my business to do that. But they say, well, now, Brother Copeland, now here's, you know, you're going to be here on Thursday, this Saturday, through Saturday. Yeah, that's right. And your ministry will have this paid before you get here, right? Well, I sure do hope so. Well, when you get it, you call us. There's no agreement there. Now, and in this case, I don't sign a faith check. I did my believing before. I've seen some of those faith checks. That's a lie. It's forgery. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and write the check, and God will make it good. Write the check and keep it in the drawer till He makes it good. That's the way Gloria and I got out of debt. We wrote checks for all everything we owed and put them in the little desk there in Tulsa, just this little old drawer. We filled out those checks and put them in there, and we believed God. And as money came, we mailed that one, and we mailed this one. And supernatural stuff started happening. There was a $2,000 deal in my dad's bank that they had loaned me. And we got to a place when we had to have a car. But I had called Mr. McCandless. And I said, Mr. McCandless, that $2,000. And I said, now, I'm going to tell you something now. I said, I'm in full-time ministry now. I'm at Oral Roberts University. And I need a car. But that, and I said, I already have that check made out. And it's the moment I have $2,000, I'm going to send it to you. He laughed. And I thought, what's the matter with him? Now, I know, I already knew that check was in his desk, that note was in his desk drawer, because it was bad paper. He said, Kenneth, somebody came in here and paid that. Well, I suspected it was my dad, but I said, who? No, he said, I'm sworn to secrecy. He said, they came in here and paid that and said, you give Jesus the credit for it. Now, I know Mr. McCandless well enough. Had it been my dad, he would have told me. Somebody else did that. I finally got $160 to buy a new suit that the britches won't split. I had the $60. I knew right where it was. Jack Howard's Clothiers. I'd seen that suit, and he and my dad were good friends, and I knew right where that suit was, and I had a nice $160, and I went in there, and Mr. Howard did the thing, and I got out of the alteration room and put my junk back on and walked out there, and I just laid my $160, $160 suit. He said, Kenneth, while you were in the alterations, a man came in here and paid for your suit. I said, who? He said, he just said Jesus did it. Now, Jack Howard was a Jew. And he knew good and well that my dad's a Christian. And he would talk to me, Jack would talk to me about Jesus. And he would tell me how the difference between a Jew in the clothing business and a Gentile in the clothing business. Very interesting. Tell you about that sometime. And we need to have a seminar on all of this, man. We will sometime. Anyway, that kind of thing started happening. God was way ahead of Joy and me. There were others that we paid. So Mr. McCandless said, have you found a car? I said, yes, sir. I found it. It's a nice Buick, and it's only got about 14,000 miles on it. Well, he said, just go over there and write him a check. I'll cover it. We had already believed God to be out of debt. Ben McCandless was the last one. Walked into his office. Mr. McCandless was just a gorgeous Christian banker. Oh, the little neighborhood banks, I wish they were back again. And where you know everybody in there, and them big and heartless conglomerates bought everybody up. Well, they're not all that heartless, but, well, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I would watch my dad fill out, make his deposits, and he would put his money in the bank, and he would put God's money in his tithe account. He would separate it when he made his deposits. That's Jesus' money. Amen. So, anyway, I went in to see Mr. McCandless. The last $50, and it was on that car, way ahead of time. And I walked in there, made the point, left Tulsa, came down to see him, pay that last debt. I said, Mr. McCandless, I'll tell you folks, I was so excited. There's healing in being out of debt. Yes. Nobody can bug you anymore. But you have to do those righteous things. If you can't make that payment, you call somebody. And you call them ahead of time. And you tell them, I'm telling you, I'm very aware of this. I am a Christian, as you know, and I pay my debts. And I'm on my way to getting out of debt. And I don't have but $20, but I'm going to send it to you. You can just put the $20 on there. Put something on there. Just call them and say, right now, I don't have anything. Well, Brother Copeland, that's the reason I don't become a partner, because sometimes I may not have it. Well, now that may be the reason why you're having trouble at the bank. Right. Should a poor man tithe? Yes. Absolutely. First. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I learned back there when we didn't have anything. I went into one meeting and had a financially tough time getting there. But I already knew what Gloria and I were believing, and I already knew what we were sowing for. So when I got to the church, I took all the money that I had left, which was a tithe on what I was believing for, and I put that in that church first. And by the end of the 3 weeks, it was the best meeting financially we had ever had, and it started out with three people in the meeting because of the flu. But they didn't shut down Beaumont, Texas. Whole high school football teams weren't there, but they didn't shut down the city. They just dealt with it. Praise God. I'm not being critical. I'm just showing you I am being critical, because there are some things about this deal was not handled right in the beginning and let it get out of hand. And that's the reason we have masks on our face today, is because it got out of hand and became a worldwide killer. It was a weapon, and it did exactly what it was designed to do. And I don't say this kind of thing just because I make it up. Now keep up with it. Anyway, so what do you have to do? You have to forgive the people that did it in the first place. And then do things right. What do? We do what's right according to the Word. Then we do it because it's right. Then we do it right. If you don't, this is my dad. If you don't have time to do it right the first time, when are you ever going to have time to do it again? Whatever it is, take the time to do it correctly. Make your word good. If you tell somebody you're going to be there at 3 o'clock, don't be there at 4:20. Well, you know, I just had it. No, just when you show up, say, forgive me for lying. I should have called you. I could have been here and I didn't. Amen. All of this has to do with your healing. All of this has to do. And let me show you something now. Glory to God. So that was fulfilled. Now we're here in 1 Peter, and we go down through all of those corrections and so forth. If so be you've tasted the Lord is gracious, and so forth and so on. You're a lively stone. You're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that he that believeth on him should not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he's precious. Hey, do you believe?
Yes.
Well, that's part of it. He's precious, but unto them which are disobedient. Now, wait a minute. If you've been disobedient to the Word here lately, but just stop and say, well, Lord, I just repent of that. No, you're precious to me. You told me to lose 20 pounds, and don't glory be to God. As far as I'm concerned, it is gone now. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which was the builders disallowed, the same is made in the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word being disobedient. Don't stumble at the word of God. Abraham stumbled not at the word of God, giving God glory, being fully persuaded he's able to do what he said he'd do.
You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BVOV broadcast study notes today at kcm.org/notes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from. Discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org/notes. The threat of sickness and fear may be all around you. However, to the believer, the Word of God is full of promises to make you victorious over every attack of the enemy. Healing and wholeness are yours in Christ Jesus. In Faith to be Made Whole, Kenneth Copeland explains that it really is God's will for you to be healed. This series, available on MP3 or DVD, walks you through Jesus' healing ministry to discover the unchanging will of God for healing, deliverance, and wholeness. It is God's unconditional love for you that holds the power to propel your spirit, soul, and body into wholeness and your life to a place of victory. God's promise of health is true for you, and God never breaks His promises. Find out how to believe and trust in God's love for you and have faith to be made whole. The key ingredient to wholeness of spirit, soul, and body is your faith. Request your free copy of Faith to be Made Whole, available on DVD or MP3, and discover this number one key to answered prayer. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Hello, I'm Spencer Nordyke. Brother Copeland has said prayer is the foundation of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, so prayer is a priority to us. Here at KCM, we have a staff of prayer ministers and a dedicated prayer line that you can call for prayer. Our prayer ministers are licensed and trained in the Word of God, so they are ready to pray in faith with you. You may be facing something that you don't know what to do, and when you call, they'll be ready to pray scriptures over you. Take that word, get into agreement with it, make it final authority over that situation, and speak that promise by faith until you receive your breakthrough. 1 John 5:4 says, "Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Faith is our victory. Get on the victory side of life. We have prayer ministers in all of our KCM offices around the world. And to contact the office nearest you, go to kcm.org for information on their hours of operation. Thank you for joining us today. We will see you again tomorrow when Brother Copeland is continuing his teaching on living in divine health. This is Spencer Nordyke reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel. If you would like a free copy of the broadcast to put into your faith library, you can download it on kcm.org or request it on DVD or CD. Keep your heart full of the Word of God and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.
In 2022, make time to receive God's word and direction for your life. Join Kenneth Copeland at these upcoming KCM events. April 7th through 9th for the Branson Victory Campaign in Missouri. May 12th through 14th for the Sacramento Victory Campaign in California. May 26th through 28th, join us for the first ever Knoxville Victory Campaign in Tennessee. June 9 through 11, don't miss another first, the Fargo Victory Campaign in North Dakota. And August 1 through 6, bring your whole family to the Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. Come expecting to fill up on the meat of God's Word at our annual hometown meeting. KCM events are free to attend. Don't miss out on the opportunity to sow God's Word into your life. Go to kcm.org/events. For more information, and we'll see you there. Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Build your faith through powerful articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories and testimonies of real-life victory and equip your kids for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today at kcm.org.